Franklin.
Here.
Grunsch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Here.
Page.
Here.
Solomon.
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any members of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any of the items or item on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have two items, approval of the February 26th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented, and approval to authorize staff to order a sign recognizing the MDNR water risk grant for the marina from the wood shop in the amount of $2,700 and authorize the city manager to execute the documents.
I'd make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Okay.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Moving on to hearing citizens' comments for non-agenda items. Please identify your name. We will have a 5-minute time limit.
Okay.
And phone out here.
Yes. I have something written, so I need copies for everyone.
Okay.
Get Cindy hers and she passed her mouth on.
This is in regard to the planning meeting. The planning commission meeting, there were a lot of people in attendance. And I think there were a lot of questions, some of which were answered, some things were not clear. So I'm hoping to get some clarification. So this is my letter.
Can you identify yourself for the record?
Oh, sorry, Penny Hardy, 437 North Street, Wayne City.
Thank you.
First of all, I wish to commend the planning board for their handling of a long and at times heated discussion regarding the two new housing commercial development proposals for the downtown business area. It was greatly appreciated that public input was given careful consideration by the board. Before these two projects come before the planning board again, there are some items that need clarification. First, does the need for additional housing override the need for parking, public and private, within this district? Is this area on the lakefront the best location for this type of development, especially if the goal is to develop affordable housing for medium-income families? Is the offering of public parking spaces adjacent to City Hall to be designated as parking for a private business commercial development use a good practice? Will this set a precedent? Will all developments in this district be given the same kind of offer or incentives? Will existing businesses wishing to expand get similar accommodation? Does the city offer large developments preferential treatment over private and smaller business owners? For example, do we offer grants without normal application requirements or tax abatements or other financial incentives? Is it normal city practice to approach a property owner to ask them to build a specific size and type of building on a site they have purchased or owned within this district? When did four-story buildings become a part of our master plan? Do we no longer have a turn-of-the-century Victorian design plan for the facades of the building in our commercial district? Do you encourage developments even if you know it is likely they will fall outside of the current zoning standards for the area they're wanting to join? In the parking survey that was used for discussion at the planning meeting, it was never clearly defined how many of those parking spots were actually public parking in parking lots or street-side spaces, or how many were privately owned and required parking spaces for the existing businesses within the area. I believe that a color-coded map of this area clearly showing the types of the spaces would be extremely helpful in order to decide if waiving or adjusting the required parking for the proposed developments is reasonable. Along with possible reductions in required parking spaces, are these developments requesting or have they been offered additional incentives, such as tax abatements? If tax abatements were to be offered, how many years would they cover? Has the city commission been approached, or had the city commission been approached by the prospective developers and owners of the property at the corner of State and Lake Streets regarding a four-story structure before the commission began the process of amending our zoning to accommodate that height, or from the change to the previous 3.5-story maximum? Who asked or recommended that the architectural committee approach the owner of the Lake Street North Street property to change their design plan from one story to a 2-to-3-story building with housing? Is there a standard procedure for this type of recommendation? And then I signed it, and I was hoping you would address some of that before it goes to planning again.
I appreciate the letter.
And I know you can't answer all that tonight.
So procedure is we will not discuss this at this point. It'll go to staff. I know I can answer every one of these. I know staff can answer every one of these. I would welcome, as a friend, to you and I sit down and talk about this. And probably good to have staff there too. So there's total transparency here. And this will be passed on to staff, and we'll get back to you. And, you know, we can talk personally as friends. We can talk professionally as mayor and citizen. So any of the above is welcome. But it will be referred to staff. Okay? Any other comments? Yes. State your name, please.
Marty Woody, 701 Spring Street. Got to pay part. The kind of piggybacking, I missed the big meeting. I was on my way back from Detroit and got here about 9:40, and I came down and everybody was gone.
Just by 5 minutes.
Right, that's what I heard. That's what I heard, literally. So I had never any intention of being there. My only concern is the parking has become the driving force and the scapegoat. Hasn't become, has always been. We fought this hard the last time with the development over here at the end of One Water Street. Everybody in this room, pretty much, I believe, knows what a fiasco that turned into. My mother was laying dying in the hospital while I was down trying to get people to vote yes on something that you technically voted no on for the parking referendum. To stop the 47 different variances that were being allowed. That came around. Here's my fear on the newest building that you're proposing, or was proposed to you guys, on the corner of State and Lake. And that's the fact that with One Water Street, we went from what was supposed to be a one building, you look down Water Street, you'll never see it, tucked back in behind Cafe Sante. You know, you wouldn't see, you wouldn't know the facade was there unless you were actually over at, like, Chris and I's office looking at it anyway. And then it turned into what we have now. Good, bad, or indifferent. The bottom line was, it wasn't what was sold to the public and then it got changed. That's my fear of what would happen to this building on the corner of State and Lake. Because that's going to be built, it's going to be sold as this affordable housing. I know there was a plan argument on what people consider affordable. I understand their plight, but I also, from being someone that deals with rentals every day of the week or gets 20 phone calls a week for rentals, I understand that those are affordable prices in today's world, whether you like them or not, unfortunately. So that's all I want the commission to do is put that in the back of their mind and go, okay, are we going to allow ourselves to get, I'll use the word duped again. So, and that's all I got to say about
it. Thank you, Martin. Yeah. Again, comments, it's all about tape.
Sure.
Staff. Any other comments on non-agenda items? Okay. Moving on. Thank you. Correspondence. We have an invitation from the Charlotte Conservation District to the revealing of the new community room on Thursday, March 14th from 3:00 to 6:30 p.m. That's just two blocks up the road here. The old conservation building, street corner to Buzz Lockman's, is making a nice transition, and everybody is welcome. The public's welcome. Also, congratulations from State Representative Tristan Cole regarding the refined petroleum grant received for the Boyne Automotive Redevelopment Project. That's money that can you explain that, Mike? It's just the money that came in from the old
Parade properties. That's funding from an MDEQ grant to do some big environmental mitigation on the site.
Correct. Thank you. Any other correspondence? Okay. Moving on to City Manager's report, Mike.
A couple items for this evening. Just to let you know that the Cedar and Terrace Road Infrastructure Reconstruction Project is up for bid, and those bids are due back on March 20th. We have submitted our application for the new MDOT Category B Road Improvement Grant for Cedar and Terrace Street project in the amount of $250,000, and the state has received it, and we're communicating with them on that process. At their meeting last night, John Lamont, Cindy Grice, and I presented the Boyne Valley Township Board with a proposed two-year, one-price agreement that would provide their taxpayers and users of their EMS services reduced costs compared to other proposals that they received. We believe that proposal would be advantageous to both us and to the township. After the receipt of our proposal, they tabled three agreements that they had on their agenda with the Jordan Valley EMS Authority for signature. We weren't looking for them to take action on our proposal last night. We didn't, just to receive it and consider it, which they are doing. And we'll keep you posted with regards to hopefully continuing discussions. As another sure sign that spring is coming, in addition to the warmer temperatures and the rain that we're going to get tonight, the Holiday Light Company will be here in town tomorrow, Wednesday, to take down all the lighted holiday decorations in town. That's the snowflakes and the other like wire sculpture decorations. The lights and the trees will remain. We are looking to be scheduling public information meetings in the coming weeks for both the upcoming MDOT resurfacing of M75, the entire length that it is in the city, Boyne Avenue and sections of East and State Streets, in our resurfacing of North Lake Street between State and the basically the Marina. I mean, excuse me, our main boat launch. We'll provide dates and times on those meetings as soon as they're set, and both of these projects are scheduled to take place this spring. I'll be on vacation from March 22nd to April 2nd and not be here at the Commission's March 26th meeting. If you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, any questions? Good. Okay. Moving on to reports of officers, board, and the standing committees. In our packets prepared by staff every month is the packets from all of our boards, so that we're informed. We have draft minutes from February 7th Main Street Board Meeting. We have the draft minutes from the February 14th Parks and Recreation Commission. We have the draft minutes from the February 18th Historical Commission Meeting. And the draft minutes of the February 18th Planning Commission Meeting. Any questions on those, commissioners? Moving on to new business. Item 9A, redevelopment liquor license request.
Kelsey.
Thank you.
At the Main Street Board meeting last week, the Main Street Board recommended the City Commission approval of the application for a Class C liquor license to the Michigan Liquor Control Commission in relation to Ed and Christine Ring, in relation to a new project that they want to do at 125 Water Street, which is the current space that Local Flavor is in. I'll let Ed and Christine talk a little bit about their actual business plans, but basically, they're looking at doing a wine bar in that space. You may have heard that Local Flavor is leaving that space, going out of business shortly. So this liquor license, one question that has come up is there used to be basically a pot of liquor licenses, and when they were for a certain top, you know, certain times got certain amounts, and when they were gone, they were gone. The way that liquor licenses are structured now has changed a lot, and there's different categories. So this is related to a redevelopment liquor license, which is for DDA districts. There's a bunch of different requirements, and that was included in the information in the packet related to how much has been invested in the building over 5 years, how much has been invested into the downtown over 5 years. There was a checklist of things. All of them have been met and surpassed. So the Main Street Board did recommend City Commission approval of the application to the Liquor Control Commission for the wine bar project. So if there's any questions for me about the process of getting it, I can help with that, and I think Ed and Christine could do the best at explaining maybe more about the business.
Thank you, Council.
Sure.
Give you the floor.
Thank you. My name is Ed Breen. This is my wife, Christine Breen. We've been residents of Wine City for 14 years now. Believe it or not, we have been downtown retail business owners and operators for 10 years this past June 1st. Seems like just yesterday. We started, of course, with Wine Country Provisions. We've grown from 2 employees to 12 full-time employees. We are year-round employers. We've grown into the space next to us that is part of the old Cape Emporia building. We were recently approached by the owner of the building, Tom Bernard, about our interest, which we had made clear over the years, to either purchase the building or expand. And we were presented this opportunity. So we quickly put our heads together, and as opposed to building or developing outside of Boyne, which we've been contemplating for the last couple of years with additional stores, we kind of regrouped and decided that we would focus on this at this point. So our intent would be to reconnect the stores the way they used to be, the size. There's a couple of pass-throughs that were sealed up over the years. There's a keyhole entrance. And what we want to do is have an adult-centric location where we focus on craft beer, Michigan craft spirits, a very adult-oriented place to sit down and enjoy a great glass of wine. There is already precedent for this sort of business in some of the area towns that are near us, such as Bel Air has one, Petoskey has one called the Poorhouse. And we get a lot of requests for on-premise service when other area restaurants are overloaded or too busy, or not perhaps the theme or the type of place that visitors or residents want. So our intent is to hire an additional 4 to 6 people, be open 5 to 6 days a week. This is not a short-term plan, this is a 10-year commitment on our behalf. And it requires, for the liquor license, this is just not a blessing. It's a $20,000 upfront expense that is non-transferable. So we're making a substantial investment by, first of all, purchasing this license, but then again, doing a complete remodel inside that building. We'll plan to add additional retail space in there. There will be food service as well, small plate appetizers. It will be kid-friendly. It will be family-friendly. We want to add a gelato bar. So we've got some great ideas and some great plans, and we're excited about it. So we're here to answer any questions if you have any. Hopefully our reputation as business owners and operators and our relationship with both local government and the local law enforcement already precedes us.
I appreciate it. Thank you. At this point, I'll open up to any comments from citizens or the public. Yes, sir.
Chris Christensen, 125 Stewart Street. I just have a question. Are you replacing the liquor license that you have, or is this the liquor license just assigned to the new address?
It would be a separate liquor license that would take the existing wine emporium that we have and the new space and make it an on-premise.
So, okay.
It would be in addition to.
Right, the reason I ask though is that because, so, as long as things go well, that's great, and I hope they do, I really do, but in the event that they don't, and you revert back to your original two locations, are you then keeping that new license to come back with that location, and, you know, why didn't you make application for that license at that time, I suppose? I'm not trying to grill you, I'm just trying to process it, is all.
Well...
So...
I'm trying to direct it to you.
No, I agree. You can answer that if you want, I mean, it's a technicality from a comment from a citizen, you don't have to answer it, but Kelsey, you wanted to address that?
Yeah, I can answer that from how the license works. So the current, the way, these categories honestly make it really confusing, the way that the state has divided it all up, because there used to be just a liquor license, right, and buy it or don't, but now there's all these different categories that you can go under. So how the current provisions in wine emporium are set up are on an off-premise license, which means people can buy beer, wine, or liquor, but they can't consume it there. So when you go in and buy a deli sandwich, you can't have the beer that you can also buy in the store. You have to take that with you. So the reason for needing the new license is because with the wine bar, that is for consumption in that space. So the current license would only apply to the provisions side, and that's why that has to be closed off, that wall that's currently between provisions and wine emporium, because they have to be separate. The on-premise and the off-premise license can't be in the same physical space.
However, we just got word from the Michigan Liquor Control Commission that we actually can keep those spaces open as long as signage is readily available.
Okay.
And as long
they
as
keep the rules keep,
yeah,
keep
changing. Yeah.
So the redevelopment liquor license is specific for on-premise, which is for consumption right there in the
local flavor space.
Yes,
and the wine emporium
space.
So the off-premise one would only cover the provision
side.
And even though we're not required. Which we just discovered at the meeting with the Liquor Control Commission to segregate the two spaces. We believe as a business that's going to be the best thing for us, so that would be closed off. To more directly answer your question, would we revert back? Yes. For the sake of conversation, if our new business was not successful, we would have the ability to just relinquish that space, go back to the wine emporium, conduct business as usual, with the fact that we could now serve on site if we chose to. As well as takeaway, if that answers the question.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, for the most part. I was just wondering why you hadn't pursued that previously, because of the combination of the open spot between the two.
Because it's a $20,000 investment, and we didn't have the...
We started with an off-premise license, so everything has to be taken away. We were able to expand in the wine emporium by simply connecting the spaces. It's called an ad space or contiguous space addition. Sure. So there was no fee for us other than a permit and an investigation.
Okay, so it just extended, the previous license just extended to...
Correct.
Correct.
Okay, well, that's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Not knowing that you're not making an application, one would assume they would have had to pull a license for the additional space. So that makes more sense, because the ultimate question is, are there three licenses now, or are there two, like, how's this going to work any event if something goes back?
Okay.
So.
Okay. Thank you. Any more questions? Yes.
Just for clarification, you said it was an adults-only space, and then you said it's going to be kid-friendly and...
Not adults-only, adult-centric, so focused on adults. It's not going to... we're not going to exclude children, is the point. That it'll be a place that we're not going to focus on, let's say, 21 to 30-year-old folks. For instance, there will be no shot glasses that exist in the building. So we're not going to be your traditional bar. This is a place where, if you're familiar with all wine bars, it tends to be a more adult crowd, a more relaxed environment. We'll have casual seating areas. It'll be a much more laid-back, adult-oriented environment. And we will only be open until, let's say, 9 or 10. We have perimeter hours up, but we won't be open traditional bar hours either. But if children come in, the parents or families come in, gourmet soda pops, so it will still be family-friendly. So we won't exclude anyone.
Any more comments? Thank you. Let's go to board deliberation. Rob?
One question, whether this would be a Sunday operation also. Looking at the hours, and I didn't see anything for Sunday, right?
At this point, there are some restrictions and requirements for us. We must be open 5 days a week, 10 hours a day. We don't know what the hours would be. It likely would be a Sunday operation, yes, from noon to 6, which are the same hours that the Wine Emporium is currently open today. The party store itself is open noon to 8. Off-season, during the summer, we open earlier. We do have the ability, and we have the license that allows us to sell on Sunday, as well as open early, but we don't do that. We can open at 7 a.m. if we wanted to on Sundays. So yes, it would be open on Sunday. That would currently be our plan from noon to 6 or noon to 8. We plan to allow the market to dictate what our hours are, similar to the same way we did when we opened the Wine Emporium. We'll stay open longer hours, and then if the business dictates we stay open shorter hours, we'll modify those hours.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks, Ron.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Great success of your business over the last 10 years. It's been a great addition over the years to the downtown area. And thanks for your continued willingness to invest in downtown Point City. It helps make us a special place in Northern Michigan. So I think this is a great idea, and I certainly concur with the recommendation of the Main Street Board.
Thank you.
So?
My question is really had to do with the fact that there are so many places that, restaurants or bars in a relatively close space. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if that would be you obviously research it and everything. How many Class C licenses are there in this town right now?
I don't know the current number. I think Cafe Sante is using some sort of one of these categories.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's not just this bucket anymore where there's 10 total and there's 3 left or things like that. There's so many different classifications and what can and can't be allowed under them. I honestly can't answer just a straight number.
But the straight, I've forgotten what the terminology is for the one that's where they get a...
The redevelopment.
Huh?
The redevelopment.
Yeah, but it's not that.
There's resort, like resort's another category. There's one specifically...
What's the main one? You get so many.
Oh, that's the quota on...
Quota. What's the quota for here?
The quotas don't exist anymore because of all of the...
So it's all broken down into...
Right.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what the quota was ever.
Sandy, we think that we're offering something different that doesn't currently exist in Point City. And we love our community. And we have had such wonderful experience both in our first store and in our second store. And frankly, the market, when Ed and I were talking about, what we're going to do with the space, now that the space is available, we're like, okay, now what are we going to do with it? We've had so many people with our addition to the deli and having sandwiches that, can we have a glass of wine with this? Can we have a beer with this? That when we were figuring out what we were going to do, that was kind of the driving force that our market is asking for us to offer these services. And also, with Ed's knowledge of wine and our recent, our long-term success with the Cafe Sante wine tasting dinners and our Saturday evening wine tastings as well, people are looking for wine education or just something else to do. So we also look at perhaps doing something more with that space than just offering the bar service, by having some wine education classes there. We also have Suzanne's staff, which is ACSW, and Chloe, who has also just joined us as well, and she is a very refined palate and will be seeking some sort of educational certification as well. So we're going to have three really strong people to entertain these type of education classes to offer our community something bigger and better than just a wine bar. So,
One thing related to the more classic liquor licenses, one of the requirements of the application outside of local government approval, because this is like one section this big on pages and pages of stuff that they have to do, is searching for any of the classic licenses that are available in the county. And so that is a requirement, and they're all spoken for. So that was something that had to be pursued before I did this as well.
Thank you, Sally. Kim?
I wondered if the police chief had anything to add to the conversation.
Chief?
Thank you. I don't have a lot to add to the conversation other than I know that the Greens have owned a liquor store and a wine store for quite some time, and it has not caused any issues with us. We've had very few calls to their store. Probably not any more calls to their store than maybe one of the clothing stores or jewelry stores in town. So it hasn't been an issue. They run as a business. As far as we're concerned, as far as law enforcement is concerned, and any concerns that we've had, they've been very responsive to. So I have no issue.
Kelsey, I think this is a question for you. In the list here, it says that there needs to be something certified by the assessor or something to verify the investment and the 200. Has that been done?
That's one of the things that I verified before going to the Main Street Board, that those numbers had been met, that the amount invested in the building has been that. Over the last 5 years, we know from our Main Street data that that has been the amount invested, or well beyond that, in the district. In the application, there is, the assessor has to
certify
verify
something.
That,
yeah.
But okay. The number, we know the numbers check out from information.
And then once this is approved, does the Liquor Control Commission manage it? Because I know there's one other license that the business isn't always open, and I don't think they're meeting the expectation, but is that for the Liquor Control Commission to deal with?
Yeah,
okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I want to echo Dean's comment. You guys have just been a great asset to the downtown and appreciate everything you're doing. And I hope this can be a success for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. You've been helpful given the site improvement side. That was wonderful for us to think of that meeting.
I do think there might be a clarification, though, with the question that Chris brought up about the liquor license maintaining, if that building, if you're that business close, it doesn't seem to me it would be able to slide over to the next building, just the way I read things.
It would be for both addresses, both sides of old in the Caden
But building. It wouldn't be for the provisions.
It would not be for the provisions. That's an old, to Sally's point, that's an old traditional license. And I believe that it used to be based on purely population and proximity to schools and such, and there were only two. And there were hours that was allowed, and then party pack. Okay, in Boyne. That was it. But since things have changed, you know, the grocery store added spirit sales through a resort amendment, it's not what it once was. And so, as a matter of fact, with some licenses, like the resort add-ons, local authorities don't even get to approve or disapprove.
Right.
That they've removed that. So this is a little different situation because all of these resorts and such go outside of the quotas, the old quotas. So to clarify, it will be a separate license, entirely separate from what is today Provisions Party Store. And so we could easily say, well, we're just operating in this space now. Mm-hmm. All we would have to do is notify the state. So it would allow us to still sell a package to go as well as serve on site, but not spirits, not to go. That's the defining factor, whether you sell spirits to go or not.
Thank you.
All set? Thanks. Well, I'm in full support and echo my fellow commissioners' sentiments that we love you reinvesting in Boyne City and not going outside of Boyne City, and we wish you all luck, so.
Thank you.
Absolutely. At this point, I would entertain a motion.
Move to approve the application for Green Ventures LLC for a new Class C license issued under the provisions of MCL 436.1521A1B. Located at 125 Water Street, be approved by the Michigan Liquor Control Commission.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Grunge?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Solomon?
Aye.
Concord?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to 9D, snow haul-out contractors.
I'm going to start off on that one.
Okay.
About a month or so ago, I received a couple of complaints with regards to the amount of snow that's being piled up along the lakeshore, blocking some of the views. In response to that, I asked our EPW director, Tim Foss, to investigate what it would take to see if we could clear out some of those view corridors for us. He put together the proposal that you have before you, where we received quotes from three vendors. Low being an estimated $14,000 for R&B trucking, to a high of $26,000 from Team Elmers. We do have the funds available in the budget. I have heard some comments saying, well, geez, it's almost near the end of the season. Do we need to do this or should we do it? We got rains that were scheduled tomorrow. I thought it was important to have the commission basically address whether this is something that we wanted to have done at this point or not. We have a recommendation to, the commission wants to go forward with it, to approve it with R&B trucking out of Boyne City for an amount not to exceed $14,000 and authorize myself to sign a purchase order. I've got mixed feelings on it. I do understand the issue with regards to the loss of the view corridors, and I also understand the concerns that we're near the end of the season, we hope. Of course, we got our major snowstorm last year, well over a month from where we are right now. The question is whether we want to spend $14,000 or so to open up some of the view corridors at this point. You're going to hear in a little bit when I present the budget some of my concerns with regards to that. Again, this is money we do have available and budgeted. Again, this is being brought to the City Commission for you to determine whether we want to go forward or not.
Okay. Any comments from the staff and or public? We got three or four here. We'll start with you, Penny.
Oh, okay.
State your name.
Penny Hardy, 437 North. I was just wondering, because it's so late in the season, seems like it's money that maybe doesn't need to be spent at this point. And we have had a larger amount of snow than we have some winters. But if people are finding that that's not the appropriate place for it, then perhaps next year you can plan on moving snow back up to the airport further away. But my thought is, we have road crew where we've got some sunny and or rainy days ahead where they're not going to be plowing regular streets. Can't our own city road crew move some of this on days when they're not busy elsewhere rather than contracting out?
Thank you. Next, yes.
Don Smith. Stand up here. Well, we just got $14,000 floating around. We don't know what to do with it. I've already got some suggestions. But recently got extra savings. You know, I had a company up this last week and they thought it was amazing. Great. They come north to see snow. They got green grass down state. You know, they come here to see snow, not see us haul it away. It was blocking someone's view of them. They can drive right down your lake and they can go to the lake shore. I do it, I can go to the lake here. I don't spend $14,000 over here. Is that in the DDA, by the way? That's probably the DDA, isn't it? The shopping center comes right across the street. Can't say.
Yeah, that would not be DDA.
Oh, I know. It runs all the way up to...
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
Going through the chair.
Yeah, I know. My fault.
That is in the DDA district.
Okay, let the DDA pay for it. Now, if they want it, I'll let them pay for it. You know, I still owe my taxes, I'll be something to the mill in 6 weeks anyway. The company loves it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Marty?
That's kind of like Penny. I didn't make copies of them. I'll just read what it is. Do you need my name again?
Please.
Marty Moody, 701 Spring Street, you have paid for it. So I did it in bullet points. I said paying up to $14,000 for a snow removed on any site is ludicrous this time of year. I mean, if it would come to attention maybe back in early January and you wanted to move some stuff around, I could see it if you had a few months. It makes no sense when Mother Nature will do it for free in another month. And I was ready for the arguments, but you took the arguments out. So the argument truly is for view corridor. I heard that. And what Smithy said, I mean, we have all kinds of view corridors. And what are you going to see if you take it out of there? You're looking at it. You're going to see more light. It's, you know, it's not, the views, we have a beautiful lake, and it is beautiful. But it's not going to change much anything. I went on to the probes. Our two policemen in the back here can talk to, you know, the fiasco that M75 got, you know, closed down there, with all the winds in Walloon. Quite frankly, I think it's we don't get much wind blowing that way. It pretty much blows that way. But I would see it more as a buffer. So we're gonna, we know that it's been a busy, bad winter. Paid the city workers probably a lot of overtime, moving snow, plowing snow all the time, because we got a lot in a short amount of time. But we paid them overtime money to put it there, and now we're gonna pay dollars, or I assume we paid overtime money, I don't know for sure. But now we're going to pay throw good money after bad to have this removed. Much like, you know, Penny just said, looking forward, okay, that's not where you want it. If you got complaints coming for view corridor, I understand that. Then next year, plan accordingly and move it. Quite frankly, I thought Mr. Kane was going to talk to the fact that it was going to interfere with the road project on Lake Street. Well, we've known about that for quite some time too, so that, you know, I wasn't going to take that for an excuse. I also said, I'll tell you what, I'd like to put in a bid for $10,000, and I'll personally do it. I'll be there every day, and I'll shovel them as fast as I can, and throw it in my pickup, and I'll take it wherever you want it to go. And between me and my business partner, Mother Nature, I promise it'll be done quickly. I said the city has done this practice for many, many years in downtown area. Thank God, not additionally moving snow after we put it someplace before. Quite frankly, they do it on private property. If you want to address something, I think this is something you need to address. Because I've represented a couple of people at the Dairy Queen, and we use that as a dumping spot when it's private property. So I think you might want to think about that. And again, if you want to change the practice, change the practice. All I had to say was, if we're just being silly, then I think we should make a call to our newest socialist congresswoman, Ms. Cortez, and inform her that the city is messing with one of our last glaciers in northern Michigan. That should get some national attention. I can see the headline now. City of Boyne City doesn't believe in global warming or climate change. Take your pick. Pays to have a glacier in Boyne removed from sight. Hashtag winter blunderland. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I actually prefer the screen because driving that road every day, it was a whiteout until they built that up. So I kind of like it there. That's my only comment.
Okay. For the recognition.
I thought it was done intentionally, actually, to help the flow.
For the record,
Christine Green.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. One more, yes?
Darcy Catholic, employee plus
I own home on 539 Pleasant. Does that only include the open space, or does that also include the parking lot across from Freddy's that you want to haul out? Where the volleyball nets are.
I'm not sure what Tim got the quotes for.
Yeah, the quotation that we solicited was just simply an hourly rate with an estimate of somewhere between 3 to 5 days, the intention being focusing on the open space, if there's any available time left over to try and target Peninsula Beach or some of the other areas. We don't know how long it's going to take. It's really going to be dependent on the production of the contract.
And you're limiting them to haul during daylight hours, correct? Versus, because they're going to take it to the airport, correct?
Okay, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So we can't haul in the morning hours or night to the airport because of the noise. So they're going to haul during the day with traffic, which is going to be slower. It's going to take them more time if they're being paid by the hour. And all that snow that's there was put there and paid for to put there by the city employees, so, or by the city. I mean, we hauled all that on our own to that space because it was the most efficient. We're hauling all our own snow. We're not contracting any of it out. So we're hauling it all ourselves, and to be efficient, keeping the trucks moving, we have to have close places to haul. So that's one of the spots we picked. And then the volleyball net parking lot also. So it's already been paid to put there. So you're going to pay again to take it out. Mother Nature will take care of it for free.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, let's go to Fire Chris.
Yeah, this is Chris Christensen in 125 Stewart Street. Just as an idea, Mr. Smith's suggestion about taking that $14,000 and putting it into savings. Additionally, you could pay down the principal on the City Hall building as well if you came across an extra $14,000. Doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're compounding interest over a 20-year time frame, it adds up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's go to board deliberation. Dean, you want to start?
You know what's going to happen here? We're going to approve this, and it's going to be spring tomorrow. If we don't approve it, it's going to be snowing in June, and the headline will read, Point City Commission Extends Winter. Right? So on a more serious note, though, I sort of wonder, too, about how wise it is to pay to move snow twice, and it will be spring eventually. It doesn't seem like it's going to arrive now, but that'll help to allay concerns about the new corridor. I'm wondering, you know, kind of for the future, I mean, we have bad winters, you know, periodically, whether it would make sense for us to have in place more of a formal strategy about how we're going to handle snow during the winter. I know we had an issue this year with some concerned residents overhauling snow from private property and providing some extra storage for that. And I'm sort of wondering if we can address this issue up front when it's warm out, and we can think about what we would do in a hard winter to store snow from both city properties, roads, and then from private property as well to city properties. That's just a thought.
Thank you. Sally?
Well, I've heard that there's a 60-degree day coming very soon here, too, so I think we're close enough to spring that will do some of the work. And just as my own personal comment with the man who was complaining about the noise with the trucks going up to the airport, I have enough snow now in front that I don't see the street, and I don't mind because it baffles the noise too.
Thank you. You?
So, Mike, did we used to have a contractor downtown that hauled it to the airport, and that stopped a couple years ago?
Yes.
So this is kind of an end result of not having that contractor?
We're having to store more snow, it seems, at various locations because we don't have that hauling capability that we had in the past.
Does that snow have salt in it and stuff like that?
Yes, I would assume it would.
I don't think we should pay $14,000, but I do think we need to have a plan figured out for the future, you know, just to get it to the airport or wherever, you know, just if it does have salt and dirt and all that, with it running into the lake, and just our emphasis on water quality and you know, all those kinds of things, that that's probably not the best place to put it. And, you know, if the contractor is available now, why would they be available for the winter season? You know, I don't know, so maybe we just need to go that route again, so. But I wouldn't be in favor of spending $14,000.
Thank you. Ron?
Well, snow has been our rightful heritage here. We bring a lot of people to the community. We've had a lot of very positive comments on how well the snow has been handled this year already. I personally had three people mention it to me. And I just see that way too. And I drive down this way from living in North Moline, and it looks like beautiful dunes where the wind is swept over. They are. I mean, it's, you look the way they change. I go past that every day, and it's it has character. But I don't think we should ruin it for $14,000 to move it. So I'm not in favor of voting for it.
Thank you. For all the reasons mentioned, I would agree that the plan for next year makes sense, but moving it this year does not make sense. So there's no further discussion. I would entertain a motion.
We don't need a motion, do we? We need a motion to spend the money.
The informal hourly rates.
No action is the same as voting no. So you either have a choice of approving a either making a motion one way or the other, or just leaving it alone and then nothing happens.
What's your, you just want to leave it alone then? No motion? Okay. So it dies without motion. Okay. Moving on to item C, Harbor Central Reservation System. Barbara.
Thank you, Mayor. One of the requirements of receiving grant funds from the state of Michigan, from the DNR Waterways Division, is to go on their central reservation system for harbors. They implemented that probably about 10 or so years ago, very similar to what the state parks use. We have received grant funds on a few different occasions from the state, but there's been various reasons why between the state and the city we have not went on that central reservation system. One of the first reasons was we didn't have good, reliable internet service over in the Harbor Master's office in the lighthouse. Then it was taking on the One Water Marina, and the with that being private and boats splitting their stay sometimes between the two marinas, it would get messy in the system trying to make their reservations when they have these split stays. And then we were ready to go on it, we thought, a year or so ago, and they were getting ready to use a different company and unveil a new system. So they said, just wait. They're finally ready for us. I think that it would be a good thing for us to do. I think that it will, once we get rolling with it, and it might take the first year, but it will cut down on staff's time on the phone in the office, because people will be able to make these reservations online. A lot of people that cruise the Great Lakes on a regular basis, they're used to using that system. And they call us, wondering, confused, you know, why they can't find us on the state's website and utilizing that system. There's a few cons, you know, as far as the cost of it. There's no direct cost for us to get the hardware and the equipment installed and things like that. But the user, the boater, will now have an $8 to $10 reservation fee that they've not had to pay directly to us in the past. And that goes to the company that runs and manages the system. All of the funds that are paid through that system go directly to the state of Michigan, and then they will reimburse us with a check. I believe it's every 2 weeks. So before, we used to get the money almost immediately. It will take down on some staff time with the bookkeeping in our accounting department, having to deal with PayPal and things. That won't really be an issue anymore, because it'll all be taken care of through the state and we just get the check. The state does take a small fee for administration off the total reservation as well, so we will see a little less money, but I think in the end it'll kind of be a wash between the staff time in City Hall and also the staff time over at the marina once we get rolling with everything. So like I said, it is a requirement of the state. It's part of the grant agreements that we've signed over the years. It's just been a matter of the timing wasn't implemented, but I think now it is. And the state is ready for us and would like to see us get rolling with it this spring.
Would it impact the One Water Street Marina at all? Would that be included, or do we not manage any of that now?
That would not be included. And that's part of the discussions I had with the state over this last year. Last year at the One Water Marina, we only used one slip as a transient slip. All of the rest were seasonal. We won't run our seasonal through the state reservation system. It's the overnighters only. So that's why we think that it won't muddy the waters with the One Water Marina being held.
And the rates for the marina are set by the state, right?
That's correct.
So they're used to paying, that boaters are used to paying that $8 to $10 that are used to using the system? Like, will we be higher now than, say, Petoskey? $8?
Well, we'll talk about the rates during budget.
Okay.
The rates are somewhat set by the state. There's a little bit of wiggle room, and we'll discuss that at budget time. So our rates will be what we set it at, and then the $8 to $10 is an additional fee that the user absorbs when at the time they make their reservation. So it doesn't go with the nightly rate. I mean, if we charge $32 a night, it's still $32 a night. They'll just pay the $8 to $10 on top of that.
And how much don't we get back on the buses? I mean, what's the cost to the city for them?
For the state?
Yeah.
Yep, so in the memo, it's either $2.30 or $2.50 charge that the state keeps, and then a 2% credit card processing fee.
If you make a reservation for 10 days in a row, you don't pay the extra $10 per night. It's just for each reservation.
Each reservation, whether you stay one night or 2 weeks.
And if there's no accommodation for locals, I know they line up here. When you take your reservations, what is it, the first day of May 15th?
May 15th.
And a lot of locals try to get, you know, their chosen days at the marina.
Correct. So what we've decided to do this first year is, because so many people are assuming that that's still the process, while we'll be on the state's reservation system, we will not have it available for people to make those reservations until we get past the first little bit of our season. So people can still come on May 15th and make their reservation with us. They won't be able to make them online. We will then, staff will take and input it all into the state system online. And once we probably get past Boeing Thunder, then we'll open up the online registration for people to start using.
More questions for Barbara and I, and then we'll go. Okay, let's go to public input or staff. Yes.
I just have a question about the Boeing Thunder, because you need so many spots for that. Will the state allow you to set up a block where you hold so many of those open every year for Boeing Thunder? Because that's a big draw in the community, and then they don't have those spots available when they do.
Yep, did you want me to answer that? Yeah. The state reservation system does allow some flexibility. As a grant aid facility, we have to submit to the state all of our events. If there's a special event coming up, our annual events they're aware of, such as Boeing Thunder, Red Fox Regatta, and then if there was something else that just came up that was a 1 year, we have to submit that to the state so they know, and the system will allow to put blocks on slips like that.
Thank you. Any more comments?
Just one clarification on your question. So will every year Barb started off the year allowing the locals, to your point, to have a little bit of time to get their reservations in before she opens it up to the state system?
Barb, you applied to that 1 year only?
That's this first year till we can get the word out. And reservations can be made on the reservation system up to 6 months prior to arrival date. So people wanting to book for the 1st of June will be able to go January 1 on that state system and book their dates.
Okay. Any more questions? Let's go to board deliberations. Sally?
Sounds good to me. It sounds like you've got it all figured out, actually.
You?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Okay.
Is there a motion required?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to implement the state's harbor central reservation system and authorize the city manager and our harbor master to sign the documents.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Solomon?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunge?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Okay, item 9D, moving on to the fiscal year 2020 budget presentation. Okay. This is what you've all been waiting for.
I'm pleased to present to the City Commission and the community the proposed budget for fiscal year ending 2020, which begins here on May 1st. There will be copies of the budget that are available here at the library and online. The budget as proposed maintains all current services and personnel level. Specifically, it provides for an overall budget of slightly over $15.1 million, of which general fund operations are approximately $6.1 million. As proposed, the city's operating millage remains at 15.51 mils, while the city's facilities debt millage decreases slightly from 2.3 to 2.2 mils. That's still over a third of a mil less than was noted on the May 5th, 2015 ballot. Overall, the city millage would be 17.71 mils. In the remainder of the current fiscal year, looking at what we're projecting at this point, and that'll be fine-tuned as we go forward, we're looking that our fund balance will decrease by about $509,126. Next year, there is, as proposed, there will be an anticipated deficit of just under $180,000. Our fund balance will remain slightly over the 25% minimum that's established by the City Commission. And in the presentation packet that the commission has in front of them, I go into details about my concerns about future fund balance levels and factors affecting that. The next item on our agenda, we'll be talking about having a preliminary budget review session next Monday. And we have our all-day budget work session, which starts at 8 o'clock here in the City Hall on Thursday, March 21st. There will be a public hearing and consideration of the budget, and that's scheduled to take place at our meeting on Tuesday, April 9th, and that's at 7 p.m. And then any final amendments to the current year's budget will take place at our following meeting, the second one in April, which is a noon meeting on April 23rd. Again, the staff did a great job putting this packet together. Cindy and the whole team come together every year to make it happen and make it look easy, but it's pretty hard work. I'll be glad to, as you have a chance to review this, answer any questions that you have as we go forward. If you have any questions now at this point, I'd be glad to try to address them.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions from staff or public? Yes, Marty.
Marty, General Hunt's Richard. I'm paying for it. I would just like to make reference to Barb did a wonderful job at the marina. Sounds like that's going to save the city some money, and then the $14,000 that just got saved tonight. So maybe that'll help with the budget.
Thank you. How do you want to do this? You want to go through the process, and, or just open it up here for staff? Any questions? Okay.
Clarify, this is just the presentation tonight. We have an all-day work session and a preliminary work session, and so we're
about all the nitty-gritty details in the next couple of weeks.
The commission just received the books at the beginning of this meeting.
We have homework.
Yeah, this is our homework, and the department heads meet with us and explain the budget, and Cindy and Mike explain it. And it's quite a process, so very transparent, very detailed, good process. So this has to be done by May 1st, correct?
That's when our fiscal year begins. There's an anomaly in our charter, which is, seems unique. We actually, per the charter, we could adopt the budget after we actually start the new fiscal year. We've never done that. We've always adopted it in ahead of time. But if you go back and read the city charter, we could adopt it sometime in May, I believe.
Or like federal government, never adopt it. We won't do that.
No.
We won't do that. All right. There's no further questions on that. Let's go on to item E, preliminary budget review meeting.
Yes, new item that the city commission requested this year is for us to hold a preliminary budget review session. Check on some various dates, and the date that we're recommending is on Monday, March 18th, between 2 and 4 p.m. That date apparently works for everybody. It was preferred by staff. And that's what we're recommending. There is a planning commission meeting scheduled for later that night at 5 p.m. Then again, our all-day budget work session is scheduled the following week, or later on that week, excuse me. So it's a recommendation that the city commission schedule the preliminary budget review work session for Monday, March 18th, between 2 and 4 p.m. in our parking.
That was just kind of a housekeeping item, so I guess we go right to a motion on that. Unless there's any discussion on that date, but I think we all approve that date.
Move to authorize a preliminary budget review work session on Monday, March 18th, between 2 and 4 p.m. in the parking room.
Second.
Second. Roll call, please.
Page.
Aye.
Solomon.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
French.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to item 10, go to the order. You, Jonathan? Sally? Under announcements, the budget work session is scheduled for March 21st at 8 p.m. Next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, March 26th. I will not be at that meeting. And thank you, everyone.